Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
So today, you guys, does caring come naturally to women? Angelina Jolie has sparked a great debate, and our newsroom is divided on it. But first, we have so many thoughts about all the drama on The Bachelor last night. I'm Carissa. This is Justin and Morgan. Welcome to Daily Pop.
Yes.
All right, the tears were flowing on The Bachelor last night. Peter's family met his final two ladies, and they had a lot of opinions. You know, that crying moment that they've been teasing all season long? Well, it finally happened last night. In case you missed it, this is how it all went down.
Madison's a sweet girl, lovely girl. That Hannah Ann is an angel on earth, and I want him to make the right choice.
I just have a lot of love in my heart for Madison.
Hannah Ann loves you with all of her heart. Don't let her go. Bring her home. Bring her home to us. She's a dream come true, and God has placed her there for you.
So you gotta stop doing this.
I can't stop.
No, but you gotta stop. Like, it's literally destroying me right now.
Oh my
just
God.
So you know, the first thing I noticed, everyone was like, oh my God, his mom's so sweet. I'm like, no, his mom's so drunk. There was a huge glass of wine missing on the damn table.
Yeah, she's probably like, thank you for saying that, Justin.
She was litty titty in this goddamn thing.
Litty titty. Yeah, I mean, everyone like loses their mind. It's just hard to watch this and take it seriously, but I guess they're really invested Bachelor Nation fans. I just cannot get into it.
You know, she believes in the process, right?
Yeah.
She was very supportive whenever he was on Hannah Brown's season. Remember whenever the sex in the windmill came up at the reunion and she was like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
That's my boy. And so I'm not surprised that she favors Hannah, because with Madison's values, like, which are completely respectable, and I totally understand
yes.
where Madison's coming from, if you know they don't align with your sons, do you want him to marry someone who's going to be like, constantly possibly saying, like, really, are you going to have that drink, or are you going to really do that, or remember when you slept with all those ladies? Like,
wow.
I don't know.
Don't you want your son to change for the better? Like, wouldn't you want your son to stop going to the club and living with his mama and hooking up with, like, 17 people?
Yeah, you evolve out of that. I feel like what she
means... Because you meet somebody who, like, makes you level up.
That has to be a choice. You can't all of a sudden completely change everything that you've been doing for your whole life because you meet a girl who doesn't think the same way you do.
Because you know what? You don't believe in it. You don't believe it's going to last because you think,
it's harder,
I know my
too,
son,
right?
He's not going to change overnight, right? And so I need a girl who's going to gradually change with him. They're going to grow together.
Also, does he even really need to change? What he's doing isn't bad. It's just a difference of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when
he's
you meet somebody
guy,
and
should...
you choose to be with them and you choose to change your life, you shouldn't look down on somebody for that, and you shouldn't try to discourage that.
No, totally not. But that's why I think they're just coming from two different places. Like,
yes.
She should be with somebody who's also a virgin, who also is saving themselves, who has a similar lifestyle. Like, I get what his mom's saying. It's just when people come into a relationship and their core values are just so different, it becomes about other things. It's harder to navigate.
Yeah, but when your kid is looking at you and saying, yo, I think I love this person, and I have taken the last 6 weeks to learn who she is and to see how she lives her life. And I think that I can go ahead and do this. You have to say, hey, Bob, you know what? I don't agree with you, but I'm going to support you and I'm going to love you through it.
You're right.
If your person, if your child then comes back and it doesn't work out and does it again and then again and then again, then as a parent, you step in and you say, listen, I've seen you do this pattern for the last 6 years. You shouldn't do it anymore. Let a pattern happen.
You need to, you need to allow for your children to make mistakes and follow their heart. But I think that if you are a parent and you know to your core that something is not going to work out, you as a mother pretty much are right most of the time. So I think that to intervene before it becomes heartache is probably the right thing to do.
Okay,
so, and there's got to be something.
Here's the thing. It's like, I understand where the mom's coming from and I totally see where her stance comes from, but I am with Justin and I don't know that I would voice it. I especially wouldn't cry to Chase. Like,
you would voice it.
No. Her non-verbal body cues would let Chase know that she doesn't like
it. She's gonna make, you do what you want, but I don't like her.
Yeah.
You do what you want, but I don't like her and I'm not supporting it. Are you kidding?
No. It's this.
Women stick together.
No. It's this. I'm not gonna say anything. I just not. Mm-mm.
Whatever makes you happy.
That's the puffing, the breathing would be so heavy.
All right. Okay. So maybe it'd be obvious, but I wouldn't be crying and being like, please. Don't
that he
do
said
this.
It. You said she was Liddy Titty.
Yeah, probably Liddy Titty.
No. She was feeling courage.
Has your family ever said, "I don't like this guy" to you?
No, my family's never said it, but my chosen family has let me go through with something and let me learn the lesson. And then at the end of it, when there was a breakup and there was a potential get back together, then they voice their concerns.
Yeah. Like, we were involved in that.
We all wait for that moment,
right? That's what I'm saying. You all wait for that moment, but I think they let you learn those mistakes. Yeah. Because guess what? As a mom, you already know when your kid turns 12 years old, the minute you say right, that person's gonna go left.
Yeah.
And that continues until they're in their 40s and until they become parents. So you have to either Jedi mind screw them or don't say anything at all.
Yeah, because see, my concern is, let's say Peter ends up with Madison. Madison is going to be like, that hurts because you clearly were obsessed with Hannah and you didn't want me to be with your son. So it's going to cause a rift, right? And so that's why, like, I feel like you have to wait until the people break up before you can truly voice whether you really hate them or not.
But I think if you're a parent, you can voice it earlier. And I think it depends on the dynamic of your relationship. But if I was dating somebody seriously or was about to, and my mom really did not like that person because of the dynamic we have, I would listen to her and probably would think she was correct.
Yeah, but your mother has met this person one time. You think that Susan would be...
But don't you feel like your mom is a good judge of character? Like, they can tell. My mom can read somebody from the first 10 minutes. Every friend that I was trying to be friends with in the seventh grade, she's like, I wouldn't go near that girl, and I ended up hating her. Like, they know. Mothers know. They do, right?
My mother would let me go through the burning building first and then be like,
but you're
I
also
told
a boy.
You.
It's different. Girls are so nasty.
Okay, so what if you're head over heels in love with somebody, but mom, let's say she's not passionately against him, but just very lukewarm about him. Would you still be able to say, I do, marry this person?
I would not.
I could do it.
I wouldn't.
I think I could do it.
Everyone has a different, like,
is
dynamic.
Is it my first marriage or my second marriage?
Second is the most pressure. It has to last.
We're still rooting for one,
like,
Justin.
Hello?
We're rooting for one.
It's like, what marriage am I on at that point? And also, when you walk into a relationship, if you're someone who has been in a relationship before, you already know there is a 9 times out of 10 chance you are not gonna like Barbara. You are not gonna like your mother-in-law because your mother-in-law will never think you're good enough for her man, for her, her dude. So you have to know that. So yeah, Madison is gonna see this and be like, wow, okay, welcome to the game. Now I have somebody to spar with.
Who do you think he's gonna pick?
Hannah Brown.
I mean,
she's not on the season.
I know, but it would be great if she came back.
Hannah Brown, that Hannah Brown.
See,
yes.
Look who did. I did a cheat sheet. I know. We had to print out who everyone was for us because we don't know who they are. I have no idea.
I think based off the little clip that, you know, I saw in a little
Mom
bit that I'm hearing.
In parentheses.
I think he's gonna go with Mom's choice. I think he's gonna go with Hannah.
You know who Barbara reminds me of? Barbara reminds me of Bradley Cooper's mom. Like, you know how Bradley Cooper and his mom are like super close? Yes, she goes to everywhere.
She's always there. She's like the new Leo's mom.
Yes, she always has the glasses, and she always, like, I feel like she tells Bradley, like, what's up?
Yeah.
Because they live in the same house, you know?
You know who's also, whose mom is like that?
Who?
Justin Timberlake's mom. Aww.
Yes! Remember she had the braids?
Yeah.
Remember she had the braids?
She doesn't mess around.
She doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she'll have a glass of wine and tell you what's
up. Moms, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll see who he likes on the finale, which
we'll find out tonight. We'll all be tuning in. Okay. We now know why Brad Pitt skipped this year's BAFTA Awards. A source tells us that Brad was with his two of his daughters who underwent surgeries. Angelina shed light on what happened in an essay for Time magazine. She talked about the procedures and how kind the sisters were towards each other. And then she admitted, quote, "Someone said to me, when they saw my daughters caring for each other, that it comes naturally to girls. I smiled, but then I thought, how often that notion is abused." So the debate is, does caring come naturally to girls?
I don't know. I've seen some of you girls, and y'all are like wolves with other people. Like, I've seen it. I've seen it in moms. I think that whole maternal thing is a myth as well. I feel like sometimes we feed into that so much that we make men feel like they aren't caring.
Right, I agree with that.
It's almost like you say, oh, girl, it comes naturally to girls, it doesn't come naturally to men. So
and
we
it's
automatically,
also like a pass.
Yeah, it's a pass.
And trust me, there are a lot of men that I know that I've been with that I'm currently dating, they're a lot more caring than I am.
Yeah.
A lot more. A lot more thoughtful, a lot less selfish. Like, I am not the most caring, thoughtful person.
When I was talking about the wolves, I was talking about you.
I know. Like, but then I am, but then it's like a random caring. Like, I'll like randomly, like somebody I've met once who like needs something. I'm like, well, we have to get that for them. Like, why?
Yes, you do that.
I'm very random about my caring.
You are. Well, I think it just comes naturally to certain people. I mean, some people are natural caretakers. They love it. And you can usually even see it when they're young. Like, they love to take care of their brothers and sisters and help out or take care of, like, their baby dolls and their stuffed animals or the animals in the house. You know, I just think it comes natural to people, whether you're a male or a female. But this, she's kind of right. Like, this notion has been just traditionally, like, all girls are naturally caring. And then it kind of sets us up to meet this certain standard sometimes. Like, as a wife or as a mother or even, like, just as a woman in general. Like, beyond being a successful, smart, and intelligent person and all of these things that you want to accomplish, you should also be the first person to volunteer to help anyone if they're in need.
It's also
because you're naturally a caretaker.
It's kind of a stereotype almost. Like, it's not all women are equally caring. I mean, I understand the maternal aspect. I mean, when we birth children, so it seems like we want... There are a lot of mothers that are not, you know, the most caring naturally, but they have children, and that changes them. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of men who are equally caring.
And I think all of us pick and choose, right? Like, if it's your mom, maybe you're more caring than if it's your coworker or whatever.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, agreed.
Okay, up next, you guys, canceled concerts and self-quarantines. How is coronavirus affecting your life?
It's not affecting ours. We're here for you.
Let's talk about it.
We're going to be here.
We are here for
get you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coronavirus continues to dominate the headlines, and it keeps getting worse. We hear Coachella and Stagecoach are most likely to be postponed. People are also starting to self-quarantine. Katie Couric tweeted that she decided to do it after coming in contact with someone who was diagnosed with the virus, but then she was told later, that wasn't necessary, but she did it anyways. Some are even putting their love lives on hold because they don't want to go out, meet new people. A major airline flight was recently diverted because passengers freaked out over someone coughing and sneezing. But in this case, the ones complaining were removed.
I just want to let you know, I watched Contagion the other night, and if I go on an airplane and you sneeze or cough, bitch, it's on.
People are gonna sneeze and cough. Like,
if you know you have a dry cough or a sneeze, if you called the airline and you said, ma'am, I have a 4 o'clock flight to Denver tomorrow, if I can just push that back one extra day because I feel like I have a small cough, they would probably give you extra money.
Oh my gosh. They would probably say, that's gonna cost you $350, change your air flight.
Not in Corona times.
Corona times. Yes. Our lives are just keep on going, huh? No, not a problem in the world. I'm touching every doorknob. I'm using every public restroom. As long as we are delivering pop culture news, it's fine.
You're doing it.
I'm different. I've been like, shoot, well, maybe because I'm pregnant.
You are
very cautious. I'm washing my hands nonstop.
No, I am as well, but I'm just saying we're still in a communal space.
Yeah, I was literally at the grocery store yesterday. I did the whole Purell wipes. I wiped down the whole cart, and then I put my sleeves up, and I wasn't touching anything. And even, like, picking up the groceries, like, from the shelves, I was starting to get nervous. I mean, I think I'm paranoid right now. I think it's just, like, I've had a migraine for 2 days, I think, about this. Because my biggest concern is, and I'm asking you moms, like, if you guys have any advice for me, let me know, because I have a newborn coming into this world within, you know, less than a couple months.
I told you, home birth.
What do I do? Do I just stay home with her for until we have a vaccine?
Yeah.
I mean,
how long, when you have a newborn baby, how long do you keep the baby inside?
You usually keep them for, like, you know, until they get their shots. Like, you're supposed to, like, the first 2 months stay home, like, for the most part. But I'm feeling as though...
It's not like a puppy.
But you know what I mean? They have to get their shots, too, before you put them on the ground.
It's not like a puppy.
Before you put the puppy on the ground, they need shots. Go on, Carissa.
You get the point.
Thank you.
What do I don't even know how to live this life, you know? Because I'm thinking, yes, if I get the coronavirus, you know, God forbid, that
you're
would be absolutely
to.
Horrible. But, you know, I have a good immune system. I mean, not pregnant, but when I'm normal, like, I have a good immune system, and I'm sure that I'll be fine, and I can quarantine myself. But it's like a newborn, you know? How do you protect her?
Well, babies don't get it, and kids don't get it. They can carry it, right? But they can pass it?
Okay. I don't know.
They can't get sick from it. Trust me, Google that. That's a fact. Allie, is that a fact? That's a fact.
I'm not going to go with that for sure.
We should print those facts out, not the doctor facts.
If anybody gets sued on this show,
I went to the doctor last week and did all of my blood tests to see. I am perfect, by the way. No high cholesterol, nothing. Everything's great. And he said that kids cannot get it.
Here's the thing. Everything that we were told last week is changing from what we were told the week before has now changed to this week. So it would be cautiously optimistic, but I would be cautious. I think for a new mom, it is a scary thing, and you probably do need to start changing the way you live because you're right. Your kids have a different immune system than you, and it's also not one person. It's four people on the inside.
The flu's really bad this year. I mean, there's a lot of
viruses. I would not listen to the CDC spokesperson who says kids, black people, and Latin descent can't get it. She told me this morning.
That was a made up. That's made up. I didn't say that.
She said black people can't get it.
I did not say that.
Okay, but here's like on a lighter note.
Can you tell them I didn't say that also?
No, but you did say the kid thing.
The kid thing, but I didn't say black people can't get the kid.
You said
abuse I deal with every day and no one cares.
Okay, on a lighter note, will you use the coronavirus, though, as an excuse to get out of things now?
Oh, I'm already doing it.
I'm not going to anything ever.
I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
Every event this week, forget about it. And that's why I'm getting all these invites now, because no one else is going, I think. Because usually people like to leave me out of stuff. It's fine. I know who you are.
Yeah.
Remember the Goop Lab? We didn't get invited.
Did you get invited?
No, but I will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we need more people to cancel before we all get invited. Okay, up next, you guys, can congratulating someone on her pregnancy be totally offensive? We're examining the fine line between compliments and body shaming. Good Morning America co-host Sarah Haynes is clapping back at her body shamers. Listen to what she admitted yesterday on the show.
After one of our episodes aired last week, and really honestly every day, people reach out to me asking if I'm pregnant. And specifically, sometimes, one, I've had three babies, but depending on the angle you look at me, I look a little preggers. But I did post a photo on Instagram and wrote, I've had three babies and I love the way I look, little belly pooch and all. It's not okay to ask a woman if she's pregnant. It's a delicate topic and you never know what journey someone is on. It is also flat out body shaming when you say someone looks pregnant.
Being on television for a while, before I was pregnant, I've gotten this question. Have you ever gotten that question?
No, she's not never you. Gotten that question.
Never?
They've she asked, like, my nose is pregnant, but not my
lucky you. I've gotten that question. It's annoying. It is annoying, and it is rude.
It is.
And I agree, you shouldn't ask.
I've done it once.
Yeah?
I remember the time, the date, and the person I did it to, and I think about it often because I put my foot in my mouth so badly that it was horrific. And now my new thing is, if the umbilical cord is not sticking out, yoo-hoo-ha, or that baby does not move like the alien in Sigourney Weaver's belly, I am not asking you about being pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. You both knew I was pregnant for so long before you said anything.
We just wanted to keep, we were just every day like, is she gonna tell us soon? What's the odds today?
Well,
but you guys
bad.
Are so good about it.
I mean,
close friends, like really close friends like this, like people you see every single day and they're like close to you. I wouldn't have been offended if you guys would have asked me.
No,
we didn't
want to
throw you.
That.
We knew you were OCD about telling us when you wanted to tell us.
Yes.
Right? So every day we'd be like, when do you think it's gonna happen?
Because she likes to, like, do the whole, like, guess what, guys? And it's like, oh, you're 6 months pregnant?
And we're
we're like, woo! Like, she loves to do that.
I love to do that. Like, I have so much experience. Yeah. It's only happened twice in my life.
Loves to do it.
That is hilarious.
That's the only time I think it's okay to ask someone if they're pregnant. If one... they're very close friends of yours and you know it's not an offensive thing.
Yeah.
Or you know they've been trying, you know, or they're asking you questions. Like, I have a girlfriend who the other day was like, so what prenatals do you like to take? And I was asking me all of these questions. And she's like family. So I was like, do you have anything you want to tell me yet?
And is she pregnant?
No. But she's prepping. She's prepping.
Got it.
So I'm excited for her. But I didn't feel offensive asking that because she's asking me all the questions that would make me think that she might be pregnant.
But I think now with body shaming and people always feeling like every little thing is against them, and I'm not saying that Sarah Hines is not right in saying that she is body shamed because it's your body and you know what it feels like, but I feel like sometimes people aren't coming from a malicious place and you have to take that into consideration, and we can't be so sensitive to things. Like, if you will say, listen, I just had a baby 3 months ago, for you guys who didn't know it, you know, my bad. Like, all right, I need to fart that day. And people will just drop it, but I just think that we take the body shaming thing a little too far.
Well, I think her point was pregnancy is just so different. It's a different level of, because it's so complex. Like, somebody could be pregnant or trying to get pregnant and they can't. And when you ask them that, her point was saying, like, that can really hurt them because...
Yeah, but this is the world that we live in, that people will ask you these things. I just think that we are too quick to make things a moment and to come up with these body shaming and you're this and you're that. And it's like, let's save the body shaming, you know, tag for people who are getting body shamed for being too fat or too skinny or not looking a certain way or having a different color than other people. Like, I just don't want us to start using that, and the rubber band gets pulled so hard that it never pops back.
But don't you think this qualifies?
I think so. I think asking a woman if she's pregnant, if she's not pregnant, first of all, asking in general is really dicey because it's true. You don't know somebody's private journey. And the way she put it was, it is nobody's business unless somebody decides to share it with you. Even if you were to follow up with your friend, she's prepping, right? And let's say 4 months go by, and you ask again. She's probably in her own mind like, no, I'm not pregnant yet. It's been 4 months. We've been trying a lot, and it's not happening.
And like, it becomes exactly. At this point, I won't ask because
you don't,
now
you
I know you're trying.
You'll
tell
me
if
when
you
there's
get
a
pregnant.
Baby. I had a friend that recently, she's now 6 months pregnant, but it took 2.5 years for her to get pregnant.
Yes.
And I, for the first 4 months, was like, oh, you pre-, like, and then I was like, it's not my business. So I just think, A, you shouldn't ask. If you're uncertain and somebody doesn't, you know, offer up that information, you just gotta leave it. And also, being called pregnant when you're not pregnant is body shaming.
No.
Even if you don't have malintent and if you don't mean to be malicious, and probably in your case, when you asked the woman if she was pregnant, you were probably trying to strike up conversation, but still, it's one of those things where you have to be...
In my defense, I saw her on Instagram, she was pregnant, and then when I saw her out at a premiere, I said, oh my God, when's that baby coming? And she said, oh my God, it came 3 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, I didn't even look down at...
Well,
no, she's still mad at me, she still hates me.
No, but also, that's not... I mean, three weeks postpartum, you still look pregnant, am I right?
Yes.
But whenever I signed up for this job, I knew I was gonna put my life out there, and I knew that my life and my body and my face and my makeup and my opinions were gonna get ridiculed.
Yeah.
So we can't be like, oh my God, it's da 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 da. When you put yourself out there, I know that these people out there can be really nice to me, or they could be really ruthless. But most of y'all are nice, and I really appreciate it being ruthless to these two. But it happens every now and again where I see something that people don't like, and I understand that it's up to them to criticize it because I'm putting myself out there.
It doesn't make it okay.
It doesn't make it okay, but you can't whine about it.
You're saying that it comes with the territory, though.
Yes,
which I understand, but she's not putting herself out there. She's taking a photo, and her stomach looks a little bit more pronounced because she's had three babies, and she's not maybe, like, you know, completely honestly, if you guys saw that photograph, I might be like, okay, she looks like she's newly pregnant.
No, I watched the show, though, and I know she just had a baby.
Right, which is, by the way, she looks beautiful
no
matter
what.
But I also don't think that just because she's on television and she's a public figure, people get to ask her or assume that she's pregnant if she hasn't said anything about it.
I just don't think it can surprise you.
It can't surprise you, but it can still hurt your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being body shamed that way, I wouldn't want somebody to be like,
I had
a lot
of people ask me if I was pregnant whenever I was pregnant and I hadn't announced it yet. Because, like, not only you guys knew, but the viewers knew too.
Everyone knew, Carissa.
The whole building knew.
Yeah. We all know.
We had meetings about how to keep it a secret, so to make you happy about the announcement.
I tried really hard, okay? I just popped really fast this time.
You didn't, though. It was a long time, it felt like, right?
It was like
3 months. We were like, today is not the day.
No, then we started, like, thinking, are we in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Is she not pregnant?
Like, shooting craps outside, like, figuring out our odds.
I was eating a lot of donuts.
And then I heard, I need to know for my outfit, are we standing up or sitting down? And I was like, ha-ha, pregnant.
Yeah, it's hard to
hide. But then you wore blue
so much.
No, and then she got weaved down to here. I was like, ha-ha, telltale pregnant. She's trying to
hide it. Oh, you did the long hair for a little?
She did the long hair.
That was the tipping point. Oh, my God, the long hair.
When she was like, I got to get weave. I was like, all right, pregnant. Yeah.
All right. Don't ask, you guys, unless you know for sure, unless they've said it. Just don't ask.
Yes.
It's a safer rule. Okay, up next, Kaley Cuoco says she and her husband did not fall in love at first sight. Do you need an immediate spark, or can you grow to love someone? We'll discuss.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Kaley Cuoco says it was not love at first sight with husband Carl Cook. She told Us Weekly they had, quote, met and it was like a weird meeting. It obviously worked out for them, but would you be offended if your partner said it was not love at first sight?
No. I wouldn't be offended. I feel like social media and the internet has ruined what we have deemed the perfect man.
Movies and TV.
Yeah. But I think movies and TV, it was like fine back in the cut. I think social media feels so real, and I think people present themselves in a certain way that we in our minds think that our perfect man looks like a statue, and he'll fly us to Pig Island, and we'll do this whole Exuma thing, and he has to have a certain job in X, Y, and Z. So when we see people... When we see people in person, there's no Exuma thing, because when we see people in person, we think, oh, that's not him, because he doesn't do everything that Morgan Stewart's boyfriend does, or he doesn't do everything that this person's boyfriend
does.
And, you know, no, so it's that thing where we almost have to look at somebody 2 and 3 and 4 times and say, you know what? Actually, that person doesn't exist, and this guy is, like, the perfect person for me. You know what I mean? So it takes a moment.
Don't you also
sad.
Feel like you have an idea of the person that you're supposed to be with, and then if you end up with somebody that doesn't fulfill all of those sort of ideas in your head, you're like, there's just no way, but then all of a sudden you find yourself spending more time with them, and you're like, okay, I could see how this maybe could work.
Everyone
has a checklist in their mind of, like, okay, I need to have X, Y, and Z, and then this, and I like them to look like this and to dress like this, and then when you kind of end up liking somebody that doesn't fulfill all of those requirements, and you're kind of, like, unsure, and then it just sort of, the universe takes over and kind of just puts you with that person.
100%.
And that's probably what happened with them. But I feel like they have a lot of things in common. They both like horses.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're not the first couple to say, it was not love at first sight. I think both sides, I don't think I would be offended because I would probably have known that as well. I was probably in this, you know, if you're in that situation, you can tell whether or not like there was an immediate spark or there wasn't. And people grow into like seeing that side of somebody else, like you said, especially if it's not physically what you normally are attracted to, mm-hmm. and you're kind of catches you off guard. Like there was one guy I dated, I remember, that we started off as friends. Like there was always like a little bit of a spark, but we were friends for a really long time before we dated.
Oh yeah.
And
no, you told us about him.
Yeah.
You kept him in the friend zone until like yeah. you were lonely, and then
what
pulled
happened?
Him out.
And then you got like a little despy, and you then you were like, despy, hey, what's up?
And she pulled him out of the club closet.
And so it didn't work out, but yeah, it's like it wasn't love at first sight by any means. But I will say, like with Shannon, even though we didn't start dating right away when we first met, because it just, I don't know, it wasn't like on our minds at the time, there was like an immediate like
spark, connection.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, he's hot, she's hot, whatever.
Yeah, but that's lust.
Yeah, but see, yeah, that's lust. What I think it starts with, like an immediate lust.
It starts with immediate lust.
Not
I
love.
Will say, after being in a relationship and being heartbroken, your mind kind of sort of does this thing where it doesn't let your heart race to the altar. Mm. Because when you're young and you haven't been through heartbreak, you automatically start thinking about your last names together and like what your wedding's yeah, gonna look like yeah. and X, Y, and Z. And then you go through something hard and then your mind tells your heart like, yo, you Chill. Need to calm down. We let you do the last three relationships, but you're gonna have to pipe it down and bring it back. So my mind doesn't even let me go there.
It's a very good point. I think if you've been through some like hard times, it definitely changes.
You're just
things.
More reserved. You're a little yeah. bit more, you're jaded, right? You don't like, you're
just
not
more
as,
realistic.
Yeah, you're, that's.
You're more realistic.
Realistic. All right.
Black people can't get corona.
You told me that. All saw Meghan Markle yesterday at the Commonwealth Service, but what you might have missed is that she very strongly resembled Princess Diana. Look at the comparison here. So Meghan wore a green dress.
She did that!
And fascinator. Mm-hmm. Very similar to what Harry's mother wore in 1982 when she was pregnant with William.
She did that, huh? I cannot believe that! I actually did this research and I didn't see the photo.
I love when she says I actually did this research.
Yeah, well, sorry, I missed the Bachelor memo. But this, I didn't see the photo. I didn't,
so
I didn't
you,
understand.
Then you didn't do the
no,
research.
I did, yeah.
Rebecca!
That was the whole story.
So you didn't do the research.
I will show you the article. It's still up on my phone. I saw them walking in and then I saw when Kate, you know, ignored her potentially. I didn't see these photos, but that bitch did that. That's insane. That is calculated.
Claire Under Markle Wood.
Literally.
I am so proud of you.
That was, shit, that
I,
was
I didn't even know you, bitch.
That's
but you
a
know
royal
what?
Mic drop that bitch did. That was insane.
Give me
the
some cash.
The fascinator is literally the same.
I just want to say this. When you pay homage to somebody like that, think about it. Diana Aww. And Meghan are both outsiders in the royal family. They both decided to rebel. They both decided to forge a path for themselves. And Diana was one of the most independent women that yes. we have seen in history. Went against the grain, did the damn thing, and she was going to be a great. And I think for Meghan Markle, it's almost like she was paying homage to her because she knows that she feels the same way.
Yeah.
And she also knows that, yeah, people talked about Diana, you know, when she divorced Charles and left the monarchy, but people loved her. She was the people's princess, and I
True.
Think Meghan is going to give that vibe. And she's like, you know what? I am a modern-day Diana, which was a stretch 4 months ago, but today, I love it.
It's a move.
Somebody
it's not
this.
An accident.
We all
either.
Agree this was on purpose.
I think it was.
It's a mic drop. It's a mic drop.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
She knew that was going to happen.
That's why Kate didn't look yeah. at her. Kate was like, this.
Kate was we
like,
know that Meghan was
Kate
very.
Kate flashed a ring in her face a little bit, but you can try all you want. You know what I mean? We should write like a sitcom about that.
Oh, I think
the
there's
Crown.
A few coming out.
What are they coming back? They always take so much time in between. Things are happening. Move along.
Coming up, you guys, if you're having trouble getting your kids to eat healthy, we got some ideas to help you make clean versions of their favorite foods. Next. All right. You don't have to trick your kids into eating healthy. How to show us to get how to get creative with some of your kids' favorite foods is cookbook author and recipe developer Alex Snodgrass. Yes, thank you for being here.
So
and
excited.
I love it.
because you brought some like nostalgia favorites, like stuff that we grew up
bringing
eating.
Back the 90s.
Yes.
I feel like everybody loves it.
Remind me of Bagel Bites.
Yep, that was my intention behind it. But they're grain-free, gluten-free, and kind of that like paleo vibe.
Oh,
minus the
okay.
cheese, but you could cut that out if you're like dairy-free.
Oh no, we need to have some life to it. Can we have one? I want one.
Yes, of course. Okay, well show me how to make them.
Yeah, so, and how are they grain-free?
So the flours that I use here are cassava flour and arrowroot flour, and I kind of mix it
cassava.
With some olive oil and some Italian seasoning. Mm. I bake them off in like this little muffin tin, and then from there, they're extremely easy to make. So
these are delicious.
Then you top it with a little marinara, the cheese, the pepperoni, put them back in the oven until the cheese gets nice and melted. And the great thing is like after they're cooked, you could lay them flat, freeze them, and still have that bagel bite moment with your kids that you can just throw in the microwave or put it in their lunchbox.
Okay.
My kids
love
those.
Kidding. This actually tastes exactly like a bagel bite.
Yeah, they do taste really
like
good.
Identical to one. I'm eating
Thank
the whole
you.
Thing. Sorry.
They're definitely a fan favorite. So
one more time, the crust, because that seems like the hardest part.
It's so easy. You just dump like all the stuff in a bowl.
Okay.
But it's cassava flour, arrowroot flour. Which are two
arrowroot?
Arrowroot.
Arrowroot.
It's kind of like a cornstarch.
Is that a tough one for you, Carissa?
I've never had arrowroot.
Yes.
Arrowroot.
Yes, it's arrowroot. So that is what makes the crust here. It has like some olive oil seasonings and a little bit of water.
Okay.
Mix that. Put it in there.
What is this about?
So this is about bringing back Hamburger Helper.
Yum.
Yeah.
And it's all done in one pot, and you can see here are all my ingredients. This is already browned, some ground beef. Yes.
This
is
cooking?
You can cook this morning.
Okay.
Yes, and literally it's dump it in one pot. So we've
got
onion. Yep, that's a little bit
tomato
paste. Ooh,
I got a little thingy.
Yeah, she's got a little thingy.
Cute.
And then here's all the seasonings that you have: salt, pepper, paprika, and garlic powder.
Mm.
Rather than, you know, the seasoning packet that you get with Hamburger Helper that has, you don't really know what. Now you know what you're
now
eating.
Now you know.
But it's still just as easy. Yes. Noodles, dry noodles.
Dry it's noodles
all,
in there?
Yes. Yep. So then it's literally all gonna cook in here at once in the liquid, and that's what's gonna make it. Wait, you can wait. That's garnish.
Don't
put the cheese.
Yeah, no cheese, no cheese.
Not yet. And then, so this is milk. You could use a dairy-free milk if you want.
What's this?
Any milk here works.
You think an almond milk would be good in that?
Yeah, almond milk's good. Oat milk if you are an oat milk fan.
Okay.
And then this is some beef broth. You could also use vegetable broth here if you want. So what's gonna
happen? You are not, the next time you're doing the segment.
Oh, this is good.
So the good thing about this is that pasta is gonna cook in here, and it's gonna give, like the starch from the pasta is gonna make it thick, and it's gonna be, you know, your one pot Hamburger Helper. So it's honestly just as easy as Hamburger Helper, but you just know the ingredients that you're eating.
It's a healthier version of it.
Yeah, it's just a clean
version.
Knowing
the ingredients is key, because we don't know what it is in half the stuff.
Yes, but it's still just as easy for mom to cook up for
dinner. Not gonna lie, those remind me of a popular fast food chain's chicken fingers.
Yes, so these chicken fingers are heavenly. You brine them in pickle juice, which is the trick that the fast food chain uses.
You put pickle juice?
You brine them in pickle juice for like 4 hours, and then here, I dredge it in almond flour. He really wants this food. Almond flour, tapioca flour.
Tapioca flour.
Yeah, another new one for you. And then you just kind of fry them in a little avocado oil, and you have your fake fast food chain nugget moment. Oh my gosh.
So can we try these?
Okay. Hand coming over.
So
Justine, did you want one?
So hold on. So the chicken, is this just a chicken breast you've just sliced up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I kind of pound it, let it get nice and tender, brine it in the pickle juice. So that's gonna like
how long?
Make it more tender. At least 4 hours.
Four hours? What, is Thanksgiving dinner? That's a lot.
I know. But just throw in the pickle juice in the morning, and then that way at night when it's time for dinner, all you have to do is take it out of the pickle juice, roll it in the flour, fry it up in the avocado oil or coconut oil, whatever oil you prefer, and you have chicken nuggets. And same here, you could fry them all up, and you could spread it on a sheet pan, freeze it, and then put it in a Ziploc bag and have, you know, healthier freezer nuggets as well to put dinner together a little bit faster.
And these are great for lunch.
In the oven.
Yeah. Yes.
We put them on a salad. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Toast for lunch, get by.
Whatever.
Put a nugget on a salad and it's dinner.
And it's a fancy salad.
We're so healthy.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Of course,
I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you guys, if you want more recipes, pick up her new cookbook, The Defined Dish, Healthy and Wholesome Weeknight Recipes. Coming up, is bad hygiene a dating deal breaker?
Yes.
The next
it is.
Brushing confession that's going to blow your mind. Let's discuss relationship issues, like how to deal when your spouse has a hygiene problem. A woman shared on Reddit how her husband only brushes his teeth once a week.
And we only have sex once a week.
once.
No, bye.
A week.
You cannot.
She doesn't really want to kiss him or be intimate because of his bad breath.
That's not bad breath.
She asked him to brush his teeth more, and he says, your request is controlling. How would you handle this situation?
I wouldn't be the wife.
First of all, did you marry this man and he was like that? That's a problem.
That's the first question.
If you married him and he was like that, then you know what? Shame on you. But if he turned into this man after you got married, that's fraud. I know a lawyer who can get you out of that in 2 seconds. Yeah. With 60%.
How do you even get, I am not a doctor, no shock, but like psychologically, how do you get to a point where you only want to brush your teeth once a week? Like that, to me, I feel like if I don't, like you wake up, your day has not started unless you've brushed your teeth. No?
Yeah.
I ask myself that every morning when you come in with 5 day old hair.
No, that's different.
Is it?
Yes, because there's so much dry shampoo in it, it's flammable, so it's like clean. And also my hair looks limpy if it's not. But that's, teeth brushing is different.
But it's not just about bad breath. It's about the cavities, it's about heart disease that you can not only spread to yourself, but to other people.
Dentists are so happy with you right now.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
There is a lot that goes with not brushing your teeth. I don't know how you handle that situation, especially considering he's calling you controlling for saying, like, I want you to take care of yourself and brush your teeth so that I can kiss you more and be intimate with you more. Like, you're offering something in return, you know? It's almost like they have bigger issues than what she's leading to believe.
That's what I was saying. That's the psychological thing.
Yeah, because if he's saying that she's controlling, then he must think that she's controlling in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and this is just like one more thing that she's adding to the list, and he's just picking it.
She also didn't go deep enough into her bag of tricks, because when I want my dude to do something, and it's not anything basic like brushing your teeth, because if you don't brush your teeth, you're not even getting through the door.
I'm
very into hygiene.
It's true, though. It's very important.
But if you want your man to do something that he normally does not want to do, all you have to do is say, remember that night we were in Poughkeepsie and we spent that whole thing together in the hot tub and I did that thing where I did my thing and I put your thing in my thing? And he goes, yes. And then you say, I will do that if you brush your teeth. And then that's how you get him to do it.
But see, it doesn't seem like it's working. She's saying like she can't even kiss him or be intimate with him because of this, and he clearly doesn't care.
He needs a therapist. I know one.
No, he needs a health professional.
That he needs a help. He needs, I mean, you just, that is something, there is a deeper lying issue that you are brushing your teeth. What day of the week are you choosing?
Yeah.
Why is it that day?
Yeah, are you seeing me? Are you seeing Lucy?
Is it hurting?
At work.
Or is it, right. But also,
ain't nobody seeing that man.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
That's the one thing you ain't got to worry about.
Halitosis, that is a real, we have a friend. Justin.
I don't know about this friend.
We have a friend.
I don't know about this
friend. There was some issues that had to be addressed. So,
did you say something?
I didn't. I made someone else say it, obviously.
How do you tell somebody they have bad breath? Hold on. That's a serious question. Because I think that's hard.
It is very hard, but like it depends how close you are. And I also just think like it's one of those things that I hate, even like if you have gum and you're like, you want gum? People assume like, oh, do I need it? Like it's such a sensitive thing.
It is such a sensitive thing. Like, no, I just want someone to tell me. Because like if for some reason I don't notice. These bagel bites, man.
They are so
they're
good.
So good.
I keep trying to talk about so I can eat
they're
it.
They're
healthy. They're grain-free and gluten-free.
Anyways, but I do think that's the best way to go about it is handing a mint or gum whenever they have bad
breath.
But
if it's your man,
it's like
if somebody doesn't know how to like do stuff right, you got to tell them.
All right, we'll be right back with more Daily Pop.
Thank God,
all right, guys. Okay, let's read some of your thoughts. So starting with last night's Bachelor drama, Nicole says, Peter's mom should have just enjoyed her free trip to Australia and kept her tears to herself, as if she knows who is meant for Peter after meeting these girls one time.
That is aggressive. She is his mom. She knows things.
And she had a glass of cab.
Yeah, relax.
What do you expect?
Yeah, but how would your mom be?
On a big glass of cab.
Yeah, enjoy her free trip. Rude. I don't like that attitude on a Tuesday. Aggressive.
Okay, Kaylee says she totally put it in Madison's head. They were too different to make it work. She really pressured Peter to choose Hannah Ann when he kept saying, hey, I'm in love with Madison. And on body shaming, Nicole says, I was asked by a healthcare professional when I was due, I am not pregnant, can't have kids. So I said, you are due to be embarrassed in 2 seconds.
And by the way, if that person couldn't tell that you were not pregnant, you need to get a new healthcare professional. Yeah. Because why are you in the healthcare profession if you can't tell or can't?
To be embarrassed was a way to say that.
About our cooking segment today, Juicy said, I thought Morgan hated cheese.
I hate cheese on burritos and normal cheese. I don't mind it on pizza.
Oh, wow.
No quesadilla, though. No quesadilla.
No cheese on a quesadilla?
No Parmesan.
Why have a quesadilla?
What? I don't have one.
Okay. We're out of time.
I just have a burrito. Don't come for my cheese problems.
If you missed anything on today's show, you can always check out the Daily Pop podcast and watch us here every day on E! At noon. Bye.
Black people can't get corona. That's what she said.
That's not what I get.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.